Good friends of ours, and as you know, Sam and Andre are away. If you don't know Sam and Andre, they're a wonderful young adult couple that have been part of the River Church for a number of years now. Sam is our admin assistant. Andre works for Nomis and do a bunch of other things on the side, but they just took off. They banked holiday pay. They went after a dream that they always had, and that was to tour, to play, to share their creativity with the rest of the world, to go on an adventure. One thing I love about Andre and Sam, in fact, all the Chamberlain boys, is that they are not afraid of failure. God gives them ideas, and they just go after them. They're not afraid of success. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have, at times, tinges of fear. I'm sure they do. But they're the kind of people that kind of just push through it. They don't allow the fears to stop them from living their dreams. Reminds me of something Winston Churchill said. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, but simply the disregard of it. Courage is not the absence of fear, it's just the disregard of it. I see that in Sam and Andre. They had these dreams, these desires, these longings, and they just went for it. Didn't listen to the excuses. So let me ask you, what kind of dreams are you dreaming? What kind of things are you longing for on an individual basis? Maybe as it concerns your marriage, your own personal life, what kind of things are you longing God to do? What kind of things are you praying? What kind of things are you dreaming for, even for your church or for your simple church? One thing I hear in Andre and Sam's new song is this kind of no-holds-barred attitude, whatever it takes. Kind of, I know it's going to stretch, I know it's going to hurt, but that's okay. I want you to listen to these lyrics of their new song called One Day I'll Know. It goes, I've been to the east, I live on the west. I've never been where the wheat grows, and isn't that strange? And here, I want you to listen to this. Because I want to go as far as I can go to be free, I want to sail as far as I can to sail to reach my dreams. I want to go as far as I can go to be free. I love that. And it's not just speaking about he wanted to go to the prairies and visit the prairies. There's something very prophetic in there. It's a beautiful picture of, I want to be free. I want to experience more than what I'm presently experiencing. And I will do whatever it takes to get there. Do you hear it? I want to reach my dreams. And I see that in Sam and Andre. Do you hear the longing in that song? So, are you free? Are you as free as you want to be? How bad do you crave freedom? What are you willing to do in order to experience it? What kind of waters are you willing to navigate in order to reach your dreams? I wonder what God is saying to us as it concerns those things. You know, in order to get there, I think it'll require some stretching. Where do we get this desire to stretch, to move beyond what is normal, to reach the unexpected, to step out of our old familiar pathways into a whole new spacious land, individually, corporately? I believe that we get this from God. Right from the beginning, we see a God who's on the move. First, we see it in his creativity. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. God created this empty, shapeless void was not it. And God spoke into it and created. Now, we don't know how God created. We don't know exactly how long it took him to create. This is poetry. What this is communicating to us is that our God is a creative God, a creator God, and he created out of nothing. God didn't settle for what was formless and void. He took the risk and created. You know, it's really cool. Sam hasn't played piano for too long. I think it's, 9 months she's played piano, and now she's on tour. How many of you would be tempted to use that as an excuse? No, I'm not ready to go on tour. I've only been playing piano for 9 months, right? And who put that creative desire in Sam's heart to even learn the piano? I think God did. I think God awakened something in her, and it just came to life because she went for it. We have a creative God who loves to give good creative gifts to us. I wonder if the stretch this year might come for some of you in the area of creativity. We also see this in God's relatedness. It didn't take long for God's creation to push the boundaries and to choose what they thought was right instead of God's perfect plan. They bought the lie that they could be the center of their own universe. And suddenly they experienced separation from God for the first time. But what happened? God doesn't sit idly by. He engages. God takes great relational risk and goes after Adam and Eve. God went after them. I want you to hear this. Genesis says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" We have such a relational God who pursues us. When we're at our absolute worst, we have a God who pursues us. Broken relationship, confused, lost their way, and God is going after them. And I think God still does that, right? He calls out to us, "Where are you?" Of course he knows where we are. He already knows where we find ourselves, but yet God says, "Where are you? What's going on for you?" He pursues us. And God didn't stop pursuing humanity, didn't stop pursuing healing a broken, fractured world by sending his son, Jesus. To open you and I up to a whole new way to live life. Maybe your stretch this year will come in the area of relationships. God is a pursuing God who pursues us in our brokenness, fractured relationship. Yet here's God pursuing a broken relationship, desiring to mend. No wonder he gives you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Maybe God will want to stretch you this year as it concerns relationship. I was listening to, and I hope this won't hurt some of you or shock you, I was listening to Nickelback this week. I'm a kind of a rocker at heart, and if you look on my playlist, I have some Nickelback on there. And I was listening to the song, "If Today Was Your Last Day." The lyrics go this: "If today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too late to shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are, so do whatever it takes, because you can't rewind a moment in this life." I love it. Making your mark by mending a broken heart. That sounds like God to me. Maybe that's going to be the stretch for you this year. We're going to be diving into 2 Samuel, and 2 Samuel is a relational book. It's a mess, broken relationships. We have affairs, we've got murder, we've got broken relationships between father and son, and we've got all kinds of stuff going on, and this is going to speak to us as it concerns how we do life and how we do relationships. I have a hunch that God's going to stretch us as it concerns relationship. But we not only see this in his relatedness, we see this in his sentness. He's ascending God. God's on the move. We see this all through the scriptures. God sent his son, Jesus. He didn't stay in the gated community of heaven, but came to earth to show us how to really live life to the fullest. He sent you and I into a world to live out God's love. He sent Abraham to the land of Canaan. He sent Moses to set his people free. He sent Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. He sent Jeremiah and Isaiah as prophets to Israel. He sent Deborah to be a judge over Israel. He sent Mary and Martha to support Jesus in his earthly ministry. He sent Phoebe to be the deacon of a church in Centuria. Priscilla and her husband to pastor the church in Corinth. He sent Philip out of the desert to meet out of this place of action into the desert to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. God is a sending God. And he sends you and I. And it's not just to do our own thing either. It's actually, he sends us to be in a place and point people to Jesus. In our mission statements, it's the ultimate purpose of living out the love of God to others. No strings attached, just living it out. To first immerse yourself in the grace of God, then to live out that love that you've received. So the world can know and be changed and experience this love for themselves. I don't know if you've realized it yet, but the story of life, right, is not about you. And it's not about me. I know that might come as a shock to some of you. But we're not the center. We're actually an extra in this movie of life, right? We're not the main event. We're not the main actor. God is. You actually read the scriptures, and who's the main focus? Yahweh is the main focus. I think in order for us to live out God's love, we first need to get out of the way. The biggest hindrance that I experience to living out God's love to my kids, to my wife, to my neighbors, is me. I'm the biggest problem. I need to die to myself in order for me to love that way, don't I? Don't you? The biggest stretch I think that we will have to work through is to get beyond ourselves and begin to see a world and see others through the eyes of Jesus. I don't know if you've seen the movie or read the book by Aaron Lee Rolston. Maybe you know his story. He became widely known in May 2003 while he was canyoneering in Utah. How many of you know his story? Did you see the movie 127 Hours? Yeah, powerful story. He was forced by an accident to amputate his right arm with a dull knife in order to free himself from a boulder. And one of the most captivating pieces in the movie is when, towards the end, when he finally did the deed, the thing that actually pushed him, gave him the courage what he needed to do the job, was he had this vision of a little boy come to him in the canyon and look him in the eye and then beckon him to come with him. And at that moment, he said that it awoke something in him. He realized for the first time of how selfish he had been living his life. It had been purely for himself. And when he saw this child, there was something inside of him that was awakened and said, I want to be a parent. I want to love someone else other than myself. I want to live for others. And he snapped his arm and he did the deed. August 2009, Rolston married Jessica and they had their first child, Leo. And he's now living his dream. It took a pretty hard thing to awaken him to more, didn't it? I believe that somehow God was in that. Maybe didn't cause the issue, but actually used it for the good. You know, we're created for more than ourselves. It's not about us. It's about others. And I see this in God's selflessness. One of the amazing texts is out of Philippians. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. Jesus models this for us perfectly, this selfless life, laying down his very own life for others. Elsewhere in Romans 8, it says, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave himself up for us all, won't he graciously give us all things?" He's a giving, gracious God. I think we get this desire for more, desire to die to ourselves from God. He put that desire in us. But it's hard, isn't it? What's the number one thing that comes to your mind when you consider this whole dilemma of what if I die to myself? What if I no longer try to control or manipulate others to get my own needs met? What if I truly trust God for myself? What's the fear that surfaces for us? Who's going to take care of me? Right? What about me? Comes down to trust, isn't it? I think fear comes up for us. Maybe the cost, maybe the pain. I don't know about you, but I think we're all tempted to play it pretty safe, aren't we? And I have to admit, the older I get, the more tempted I am to play it safe. Even play it safe as it concerns relationship. I find that I have to be way more deliberate now to actually go after friendships. Because I am so prone, it's so easy to just go, you know what? I'm just going to play it safe. And it's not even something that I consciously do. It's just, it's harder to engage and to take risks, even relationally. It's so easy for us to play safe. I experienced this on a physical level when I moved to North Vancouver. And I thought I was a mountain biker before I moved to BC. I living in Saskatchewan in Manitoba, I thought I was a pretty good mountain biker. Then I went on this tour. I drove a van for a tour group for Canadian Bible College, and I brought my mountain bike. And one of the stops we made was in North Vancouver. And so I decided, on my little measly hardtail, tiny little front fork, and I decided to ride the shore because I heard that there was some good mountain biking there. And I realized very quickly that I really didn't have a clue what I was doing. And though I thought I was a mountain biker, I really wasn't. And when we eventually moved to North Vancouver, I was tempted at one point early on in our move, I was tempted to throw away the sport of mountain biking. I had torn my rotator cuff going over the bars. It was just way too technical. And I thought, you know what, this isn't for me. But at some point, I had to make a decision. Either I chuck it and take up tennis, or I dive in hard, and I learn this sport, and I buy a new bike, and I buy the pads, and I really go for it. I remember making that decision. And I am so glad I didn't throw away that sport. And it took risk. I couldn't play it safe anymore. And I've experienced so much joy because I didn't stop at fear and allow fear to rule me. That's just a physical example, but I often ask myself as a result of that, what would my life look like if I would have allowed all the fear to rule me? Man, I would have missed out on so much. I would have allowed my fear of commitment to rule, and I probably wouldn't have got married. I wouldn't be the father of three amazing kids. I wouldn't have enjoyed a year living in the Philippines, one of the best years of my life. I would have allowed fear to rule me. I'd probably still be living in Abbotsford pulling wrenches at Hall Pontiac. That's where I'd probably be if I would have allowed fear to rule me. You know, it's the same thing. Mountain biking, it was either all or nothing. I couldn't do it halfway. And it's the same thing with God, isn't it? It's either all or nothing. And when we go in halfway, what do we really experience of God? Really nothing. But when we actually throw ourselves in 100%, hook, line, and sinker, dive in deep, man, then we begin to experience God. And the joy that's on the other side. So what does a stretch look like for you? What does the stretch look like for maybe your simple church or for your marriage? What might God be saying to you as it concerns this stretch? Many of you know Kenda and I, we wrestled for a while about coming to Squamish. What would that look like? What would life look like living in Squamish? We had been quite happy in North Vancouver. We lived in Deep Cove. I had my favorite coffee shop. I had my favorite trails. I had my favorite commuter route. I had amazing friends. I worked in a large church, multiple staff. It was a great place to live. And when someone asked me to consider moving to Squamish, I was reluctant. I was fearful. What would that mean for me? To no longer be the safe associate pastor of a large church. Well, the buck didn't stop here. I could just say, hey, that's not my issue. Go talk to the senior pastor. Right? There was a lot of fear I had around leading a church. Wondering, you know what? I'm not cut out for that. But yet, deep down inside, there was a desire for more. If I was honest, there was dreams and desires and things percolating for me that I wanted to go after, but fear was standing in my way. I was afraid. What would it mean? What would it cost? But the nest got prickly. The nest has to get prickly, right? In order for me to jump out of the nest had to get prickly. All of a sudden, stuff started happening at North Shore Alliance, and it actually ejected me. It got me out of the nest. And man, are we so glad we did. I don't know what life would be like if we wouldn't have said yes to God and come to Squamish. We would have missed out on so much. I think for some of us, the nest has to get really prickly in order for us to test our new wings, to get out of the safety of the nest. I didn't tell anybody about our move for quite a few months. No one on staff knew that we were even thinking or considering moving to Squamish. Then in September, I believe it was 03 or 04, we went to a staff retreat, and we did something unique that year as a staff. We brought some prophetic kind of prayer warrior people to our staff retreat. And at some point in the three-day staff retreat, we could sign up for someone to pray for us. And the intent was that these people would just nourish us and bless us and pour out favor on us. And so I signed up for prayer with a fellow by the name of Craig Withers. I really didn't know Craig, never really chatted with him. He was a young adult, church of 1,200 people. You don't really get to know a whole lot of people. So I remember going to the library and sitting down on the couch, and Craig said to me, this is how this is going to go. We're going to be quiet, and I'm just going to pray and listen to what the Holy Spirit might want to say to you. And you can just be quiet. You don't have to say anything. Just receive. Then if God does give me something, I will speak it to you. Okay, sounds clear. There was a time of quiet. And all of a sudden, Craig, who had knew nothing of what was going on in my life, said this. He said that he sensed a restlessness in me. And he said, I see this picture of a potted plant, and the roots are ingrown and root bound. And I see God pulling the plant out of the pot and planting it by a river, a spacious place where it can become the tree that it's called to be. But it needs to be uprooted out of this little measly pot. And he asked me, does that resonate with you? Oh, yeah. Then he read this text. And this is the text for today. Isaiah 54. Make a large area for your tent. Spread out its curtains. Go ahead and make your tent wider. Make its ropes longer. Drive the stakes down deeper. Make a large area for your tent. Spread out its wings. Go ahead and make your tent wider. Make its ropes longer. Drive the stakes down deeper. The picture here is that God, when it's the right time, expands your sphere of influence. And it's the picture here is the growth has not come yet. You have this permission by God. Go ahead. Make your tent bigger. Make your area bigger. Clear out the debris. Remove the clutter because the tent will get bigger. I wonder for us if that word is for you and I. In order for the tent to get bigger, we need to clear some space. Maybe our lives are way too cluttered for the more that God has for us. Maybe there's all kinds of stuff in the way that's hindering what God wants to actually bring about. And it says, spread out its curtains. The curtains, the opening, the doorway. The picture is, there's going to be more people. There's going to be, right, an opening. You need to spread out the curtains. Anticipation of growth. And go ahead and make your tent wider. Go ahead. Do you hear the permission of God saying, go ahead. Stretch. Anticipate. Believe. Hope. Dream. I wonder what that stretch might look like for us this year. As a simple church, what does that mean for you and I? We've had this mantra in this church for a long time that the church has left the building. The picture is that the tent gets bigger. It's to move into the community. It's to stretch and get outside the walls of your house and, right? But it'll take a stretch. I wonder what that might look like for us as a church. I want you to think about that. Talk about it as a house church. I'm going to blog this week concerning what that might mean and maybe give you some stuff to talk about as a simple church. But I want to give you one example of what this might mean. I recently read this article by our district superintendent, David Hearn. He said this, and it resonated with me, and I hope it resonates with you. I realized how in certain things I am way too timid, hesitant, especially in the expecting God for the outrageous or the supernatural. It's far too easy for me to take the road of resignation than bold faith. This was very evident to me as I was praying for a friend struggling with cancer. He is one of the most amazing and precious people I know, and his fight with cancer has been hard to watch. I found myself moving into a place of pastoral resignation where I wanted to be a person of encouragement and care. There is nothing wrong with that, except when it's a deterrent from bold faith. So God confronted me with this thought. Why do you give up so soon? Where is your warrior spirit? Are you not willing to fight for your friend? And I realized that I had moved into a place of resignation. Whenever I find myself in a tough place where the odds seem overwhelming, I move into this pastoral mode, somewhat passive rather than a warrior. And he says this, there is a time for pastoral expression to be sure, but I move there too quickly. So I've decided to awaken the warrior within me. If God tells me to stop my bold prayers for my friend, I will. But until that happens, I am fighting in faith for his complete recovery. Like Caleb of old, I want to face the giants declaring, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. And as I read that, I just meant that so spoke to me. One of the gifts that God has given me is a shepherd heart. But I had to confess, you know what? I move there too quickly. Oftentimes, it's this hesitant, passive kind of, and it was like, Darth, are you treating your spiritual life as vigorous and as bold as you are treating your sport? Are you trying some new things? Are you pressing in? Or are you just taking a back seat? Are you saying, you know what? No, that's going to be too painful. I wonder what God has for us. If we stretch, if we dare to stretch. As it concerns our marriages and our families, or raising our kids. Stephen Furtick, I think is his last name, in his book, Sun Stand Still, says this: if you're not daring to believe God for the impossible, you're sleeping through some of the best parts of your life. Isn't that good? Sleeping through the best parts of your life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sleeping. I don't want to sleep through some of the best parts. The stuff that God has for us. A friend of mine, Carson Pugh, said this: many of us have lived too long without feeling fear. When we do feel fear, it can prompt an exciting burst of faith and creativity that is actually energizing. I know that as a concerned sport. We're at our best when actually we have fear coursing through our veins. But some of us haven't felt fear for way too long. Hey? The stretch. What does that mean? What does that look like for us? I don't know about you. I think this is God's word to me. I think it's God's word to us as we dive into this fall. I think there is a stretch coming. And I think God is saying to us as a church, maybe individually, hey, make the space bigger. Stretch out the tent pegs. Drive the stakes in deeper. Growth is coming. Can you believe with me? Can you hope with me? Let's pray. Worship team's going to come up, and then you guys can respond. Communion table's going to be open. And what we're going to do is we're just going to flow from time around the table, the broken bread and the cup, and soup, right? This is meant to be a love feast. So this is a chance for us to come and celebrate Christ's broken body and his shed blood for us. But if some of you are just here exploring and this is somewhat new for you, our encouragement is to dare to stretch. The stretch might be, you know what, I want more of Jesus. And I want to participate at the table maybe for the first time. I encourage you to do that. But if you're not quite ready, that's okay. Just take the time to listen. But my encouragement, some point around the table, around the soup lunch, is to talk about what this might mean for you. What this might mean for your simple church. What is God saying to us as it concerning this stretch? So Jesus, thanks for your word to us. We believe and dare to hope this year that a good stretch is coming, that you're calling us to stretch and anticipate growth and change and freedom. We want to live the dreams that you've planted in our hearts, and it's going to take stretching, and we need you for that, Lord. So help us. We confess that we need you. Help us work it out with each other. We can't do it alone. So come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, empower us, heal us. Open up a new way for us so we can press into all of you. In Jesus' name, amen.